Good day, everyone. Today with me, we have Suroosh Siavash, who is the economist researcher at the Applied Macroeconomic Research Unit at the bank. And today we are talking about Suroosh's research paper, What Moves Treasury Yields? So Suroosh, thank you for joining. And could you tell us a bit more, what is the main motivation of your research? Where do you place yourself in the literature?
Thanks, Aurelio, for having me. This paper is easy to motivate. We all know that US treasuries play an important role in financial markets. Many credit-related interest rates are priced off treasury yield curve. So any movement in treasuries can affect various credit markets, for example, affecting investment, saving decision of households. In that sense, any movement in the yield curve can transmit to the rest of the economy. So understanding what moves treasury yields is important for understanding macroeconomic transmission of shocks more broadly. However, there has been surprisingly little effort to understand what sources of yield curve variations are. There is a debate in the term structure literature about whether there are hidden factors in the term structure. These are factors or shocks that supposedly do not affect yields today, but move treasury yields in the future. So we do not see them by looking at today's yield curve, but they are very informative about how yields move in the future. To us, this literature is a reminiscence of news shocks in the macro. So there is this large literature in macroeconomics, which tries to identify shocks which have delayed effect primarily on total factor productivity. So despite similarities between these two literature, the methodologies used in these two literatures are different. In the term structure literature, people have used return regression models or affine term structure models, which are statistical models with parametric restrictions. In news shock literature, other methods have been used. We put these two literatures together. So what we do in this paper is to identify shocks that explain essentially all current and future movement in the yield curve, and we provide economic interpretation for these shocks.
Okay, very interesting. So in your research, you identify factors or shocks that explain a sizable fraction of movements in treasury yields. So can you tell us what those shocks are?
We show that three shocks explain essentially all of yield curve dynamics. The first shock is a shock to yield curve level, which we all know that explains around 95% of overall variance of treasury yields. This is a shock that basically moving up and down yields across different maturities. We know that there is a very strong co-movement in yields across different maturities that documented for the US and also for government bond yields for other countries. This strong movement is mainly captured by yield curve. The second shock is the shock to yield curve slope, which explains around 4 to 5% of the overall variance of treasury yields. So the first two shocks we identified combined explain essentially around 99% of the variation in yield curve initially, but we show that their importance declined as we look further into the future. The third shock we identify is something that we label yield news shock, and in our view, is the most interesting one among the three shocks we identify. This is a shock that we forced to be uncorrelated to the previous two shocks, and we ask this to explain most of future yield curve variation. It turns out that this shock explains around half, a staggering 50% of yield curve variations several years out in the future. So it's a very important driving force of treasury.
Okay. But how can you tell us, like, how in an efficient market it can be that a shock does not move yields on the impact, but has a strong impact and strong effects on it after some time?
To understand this, you need to think about yields as sum of two components, the average expected short rates over the life of the bond and the term premium. So any bond that is default-free, we are abstracting from default risk here, can be written as sum of these two components. So a shock can affect future, but not today yields, by having offsetting initial impact on these two components and different impacts later on. We check this and see that this is indeed true in the data. We see that initially the term premium jump up and expect a short rest decline because the response of yields is equal to the sum of the response of these two components. These initial effects offset each other. But as these components have different persistent properties, yields decline in the future. We see that on one hand, the expected short rates decline quite persistently. On the other hand, term premiums go to zero after a few months. So yields decline mainly due to the decline in expected short rates.
If we could go back, how would you describe the economic meaning of the yield new shock?
We provide economic interpretation by studying how the yield new shock affects several macroeconomic and financial variables. We find that a yield new shock is associated with heightened volatility in financial markets, which dissipates only after around 1 year. We also find that this shock is strongly correlated with leading economic indicators such as initial claims for unemployment insurance and housing starts. So a shock that doesn't show up in today's yield curve, but moves yields only in the future, is associated with heightened financial volatility and is strongly correlated with leading economic indicators. We also study the responses of several macroeconomic variables such as industrial production, personal consumption expenditures, hours worked, and also the Fed funds rate and survey forecast of short-term interest rates. And we find that this shock leads to lower real activity in the future. To give you an idea about the magnitude of the effect, let me just say that a shock that leads to a roughly minus 25 basis point decline of 2 year yield lowers industrial production by a bit less than 1% after around 1 year. We see very similar drops in other macroeconomic variables like consumption, expenditures, and hours worked. Interestingly, we see that the Federal Reserve responds to this shock by lowering interest rate in the future, which is well understood by forecasters and reflected in lower expected short rates. Overall, taking all these pieces of evidence together, these results suggest that a yield news shock essentially captures negative news about short-term economic activity, to which the Fed responds by slashing interest rates. This leads to lower short rates, which are expected by investors, and therefore yields decline in the future.
Well, that's exciting. Empirically, is your shock similar to any other shock documented in the literature, where you don't find any similarities between your shock and something else in the literature so far?
As I said, the yield news shock is associated with heightened financial market volatility and lower real activity. And it is strongly correlated also with leading economic indicators. So a natural question is, to understand to what extent these responses that we see capture financial market volatility and to what extent do they reflect news about business cycle. What we do in the paper is to do a horse race between yield news shock and a number of other shocks which are studied in the literature. So we do this where we follow the literature and separately identify shocks to realize and imply the stock market volatility and news shocks about US business cycle. And the main finding, the main thing that comes out of this analysis is that a large fraction of the variation in the yield news shock is captured by shocks to realize the stock market volatility and US business cycle news. These shocks produce very similar responses for the macroeconomic and financial variables and are highly correlated with yield news shock. If you are excited about understanding what the yield news shock captures, this result actually suggests that yield news shock captures several macroeconomic forces. On the one hand, increased realized stock market volatility leads to briefly higher term premium and persistently lower expected shortage. On the other hand, negative news about US business cycle also leads to protracted decline of short-term expectations and have a sizable impact on yields in the medium. Therefore, when we take all this together, our results highlight the important role that monetary policy plays in accommodating demand shocks for treasury yield guidance.
So if you don't mind, I actually have a couple of other questions. So you chose US, to use US data for your research. Is it always the same answer, like that the US data is the best, or there was some other motivation behind the choice of analyzing treasury yields?
The method that we use is based on factor model analysis. In factor model analysis, which like it's documented that treasury yields can be summarized by a few factors, macroeconomic variables can be also summarized by a few factors. So this commitment, the methodology we use to identify this yield news shock, is relying on this feature of the data in the US, which is well documented. But a very similar strong commitment and a strong factor structure is also documented for other countries, for European countries in several studies, and other countries as well. So I would expect that very similar results would come out if you apply the same methodology to the data coming from the other countries as well.
Okay, perfect. So thank you very much for today's chat. It's super interesting, and well, hope to get more news from you in this line of research.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.